Grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text from the Gospel, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" This is our text. Please be seated. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you this day and in this year that lies ahead. This new year, I resolve to be greedier, meaner, and nastier than ever before. I resolve to drink more beer, eat more fried foods, smoke more cigars, watch more TV, and exercise less. I am hoping to make this the laziest, least productive year ever. Finally, some resolutions that I can keep. Of course, I hope by now that you realize that I'm not serious about those resolutions. I mean, honestly, who would ever make those resolutions? I mean, that's just not the way that it's done. I mean, it doesn't matter where you call home. People all over the world make resolutions at this time of year with the intention of improving themselves. I mean, we resolve to do less of the bad and more of the good. I mean, it's a new year, a clean slate. And what better way to start the new year off than with a new and improved you? That being the case, it should come as no surprise that many a Christian likes to make resolutions involving a new and improved version of the self. I mean, even if we don't make the typical resolutions involving diets and exercise and such, I mean, we do tend to resolve to read our Bibles more, attend more Bible studies, volunteer more, give more. I mean, things like that. I mean, we hope to resolve ourselves from the old Adam into a new and improved Adam. The new and improved version that's far more faithful and far less sinful. And you know what? That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I encourage you all the way. But I hope that you will recognize the sin staring back at you from the mirror, and that you want to do something about it. And I certainly hope that you would want to bring about positive, faithful change in your life. I mean, that's part of what true repentance is, a turning away from the sin, a going and sinning no more. But here's the one thing that I want to hit on today. Did you notice that even those good, very good, and faithful, repentant resolutions still focus on ourselves? But at the start of the new year, the question is, but what about God? I mean, when you get down to it, all of these resolutions, as good as they are, they are still ultimately concerned with my will. What about thy will? What about God's will? I mean, that's really what the lessons today are all about, particularly Old Testament and the Gospel lesson. Those lessons are about trust, that is, trusting in God above all things, trusting that God knows what he's doing, that he knows just the right time for things to happen. Even when it seems like the worst possible time for us, he knows just the right way for all things to happen so that they benefit all those who love him and hold fast to him in repentant faith and trust. Even when it seems like his way is the worst possible way, the least desirable way. And I say all of this first and foremost because, you know, there's a lot of good sermon material in these texts, especially the gospel lesson. I mean, we could have a whole series of sermons on the right and the wrong aspects of seeking God and when and where he is to be found, right here in his holy house on his day of new creation and resurrection. I mean, so many people are seeking God, seeking Jesus, and seeking peace in all of the wrong places. You can just hear, boy, Jesus' words sounding out. Why are you looking for me and my peace everywhere but here? Why aren't you looking here? Why isn't this the first and the only place that you would look? Where else would I be? Don't you know that, of course, that I would be in my Father's holy house doing his will? In the end, the central issue is trust in God above all things. Trust in his good and gracious will. I mean, that's what Solomon asked for when God gave him the opportunity to ask for whatever he wanted. Solomon didn't ask for the things that we would. His request didn't sound at all like our resolutions. He didn't ask for more riches or more fame or a better body or a better job or a better house or anything like that. He simply asked that God would grant him the ability to not only know his divine will, but the ability and the willingness to do that will, trusting that God was working all things for the good of his people. That's exactly what the boy Jesus exemplified in the temple. I mean, people often make the assumption that because he caused such a worry and such a ruckus with his mom and dad, that he sinned. However, they say because he was still a child, the sin didn't count. But I want you to know that's simply not true. Jesus didn't sin, ever. He simply did his heavenly Father's will. Even if it meant that those that were closest to him in his earthly home were going to be upset and worried and not pleased with him and his choices, but he trusted that his heavenly Father knew what he was doing. Jesus trusted, and he did his Father's will. And that, my friends, is what I want to ultimately direct you to as we begin another year by God's good grace and favor. I direct you to the cross of Jesus Christ, because here is God's unconditional love for you. I want you to think about all of this for a moment. This is God's plan for your salvation. This is God's answer to your death sentence of sin, that he kills his own son so that you can have the gift of life. Jesus Christ is full God. He knew this plan full well. It didn't come as a surprise or a plot twist to him on Good Friday. Jesus had prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And then he did it. He obeyed. He willingly and humbly and obediently conformed his life to the will of his heavenly Father. And I say all this because I'm well aware of how life in this fallen and sinful world works. Nothing ever seems to go as planned. I mean, if only we were in charge, right? If only people did what we wanted, what we thought was best. If only things worked out the way that we drew plans up. But they don't. And I'm going to tell you, this year won't be any different. Certain things won't go as you think they should. Accolades will be given to people that you think don't deserve them. And people who you think are deserving of praise and honor will not be celebrated. And you're going to wonder if God knows the great injustices that are taking place. The fact is, votes won't go your way. Moves will or won't happen. And it'll drive you nuts because you had hoped and planned differently. Leaders, pastors included, will stumble and let you down. And there'll be no shortage of armchair quarterbacking and opinions and complaints. Sickness and death will rear its ugly and unexpected head, either in your life or in the life of someone close to you, someone that you feel is not deserving of such misery and suffering. Financial situations will cause you grief and worry and anger. Why me, Lord? What have I done to deserve this? And basically, your will won't be done, and it'll cause problems. But you know, that's just like last year, and the year before, and every year since the day that our first father and mother fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. I said it before, and I will say it again. Look here. Look to the cross of Jesus Christ now and always. Look to him and only to him, because here is the peace that passes all understanding. Nobody, including God, ever said that the life of a Christian would be easy or be some overnight success story. The way of the Christian is the way of Christ. And it's a way that necessarily included a cross. How many Christians, how many truly faithful Christians lost their life to gladiators and lions while serving as the main event at the Roman Colosseum? Remember that our crosses, humbly born in faith, can and do point others to the cross of Christ. And now, as we enter into a truly new year, I'll tell you to feel free to make your resolutions if you haven't already. Try your very best to lose weight, or to give up smoking, or to read more, or whatever it is that you resolve to do or not do in this new year. However, as you enter into this new year as Christians who are called to daily live and proclaim the gospel promise of God in our daily lives, I want you to remember whose timeline and whose plan we are dealing with. Remember that God's plan is eternal and it's already accomplished in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, that tells you how much God loves you. And may you have a blessed new year. Amen.